cars,
super late models,
thunder cars,
modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Oh, man, how about that? Collected, that's the way you call that. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here for our Sunday two-hour discussion, our weekly discussion, stock car racing. That's what we're going to be talking tonight, and we're going to be doing it for the next 2 hours right here on Racetime Radio. And have we got a guest lineup for you tonight. Have a look at this, will you? Well, you can't see it, but I'm going to tell you who's on it. We're going to kick it all off with Ken Cunning, the GM for the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Things all firing up out on Canada's East Coast. Ken Cunning is going to drop on by. We'll talk to him about the tour. They got the schedule out. Things are looking sharp. Then we'll carry on and go with about a Pro Stock Tour driver. This guy is poised to win a bunch of races in 2020. He drives the number 54. He's part of that Butcher Racing team. Jarrett Butcher is going to join us on the show tonight. We'll talk APC racing with the number 78. Joe Lawrence is going to stop on by. How about another hot shoe from the APC series presented by Grisdale? The number 52 of Jake Sheridan is going to stop by. And we will wrap the night up with a guy that had a great speed weeks at Daytona. He is now home safely. And back in Sun Peaks, BC, he had a wicked speed weeks, both in the ARCA series and the NASCAR Truck Series. Came away with two top 10 finishes. Jason White will join the show tonight. That's who we've got coming at you. What do you think, Junior? He's also along here in the studio. What do you think?
Hey, we've seen a great finish today in the NASCAR Cup Series. Joey Logano picking up the win there. Just a fantastic showing over in Vegas. Just a wild finish. A typical mile and a half race, but some really exciting moments throughout the race. Over the course of the weekend, this weekend, we've seen some great racing. Of course, the Truck Series on Friday night was a great show. We got a chance to watch some great racing, and the bench racing is kicking off up here in Ontario.
Sure is.
Is there ever a lot of stuff happening, man? It seems like every year, we talk about it, we get excited about the season coming up. Right now, of course, we're only a couple days out of the clocks changing back.
Yeah.
And looking across the board, there's a lot of race cars that are getting done.
Yeah.
And getting completed. It's typical to see cars getting wrapped up towards the end of March, not necessarily towards the end of February. So it's definitely cool. There's a lot of people fired up. A lot of moving and shaking, right? You look at the Ontario racing scene and we've got a one racetrack dropping the NASCAR banner. We've got one racetrack picking it up, or two racetracks really, but one group picking up the NASCAR wheeling banner, and that's Grand Bend and Varney Speedway and Full Throttle at Varney picking up the NASCAR banner. And then you've also got some really interesting stuff happening, at the grassroots level across Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing some really neat news, payouts being upped, gates being dropped, and costs coming down for the competitors. And a great time to be a part of racing in Canada.
Yeah, it sure is. Speaking of cars being done, I was just flipping through Facebook yesterday, I believe, and Scene one from Image Wraps, Craig Kamrath in Owen Sound.
Yeah, Paul Pepper.
Paul Pepper's car, the number 29. Man, does that car look sharp.
Yeah, they did a great job with it. And,
Beautiful looking machine.
As well, we're going to talk about two number 29s, but we got a chance to see the 29 of Ryan Kimble over the last couple weeks. Ryan Kimble has launched what his car is going to look like next year.
Good. I haven't seen that.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Oh, I'll show it to you. I will show it to you when we go off air for the first break.
Yeah, yeah. I can well imagine. But that guy's always got a beautiful looking race car.
Different looking, for sure. The last couple of years, they went with a very plain but clean looking race car, and they went with an aggressive paint scheme with the thing. So, and then as well, kind of looking at the APC tour, there's a lot of surprise names popping into the woodwork that we're going to see behind the wheel of an APC car for next year.
Yeah, I'm excited across the board when it comes time for short track here in Canada. The Parts for Trucks tour, and I know we're going to have Ken Cunning on here in mere moments, where we're going to talk to the GM of the Parts for Trucks tour. But that series out there, Junior, I'll tell you what, another level again this year. A lot of cars going to be in this, and a lot of real stout machines. We've got winners, potential winners, each year. And, the list is growing higher and higher every year. This year is going to be no exception to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And for sure, those Easterners had their eyes peeled on their own racing down south at New Smyrna. And, of course, I'm referring to Nicholas Noggle going down there and posting some numbers. And then as well, Cole Butcher and those boys going down and posting some amazing numbers over at the Snowball Derby and as well over at Nashville. There's going to be a lot of racing from the East Coast heading down south for the races at Hickory and then as well over at the Rattler coming up in a few weeks and looking forward to seeing what all comes out of there. But definitely some big news coming out of the Pro Stock Tour over the last couple weeks and a lot of excitement heading into it.
Well, the schedule has been launched. We have the GM on the hotline. Let's welcome him in. There's Mr. Ken Cunning right there. What's going on there, Ken? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Joe. Just trying to thaw out here. Had a nice sunny day. Get rid of some of the snow and ice. So it looks like it's getting closer to race time anyway.
Isn't that, Ken? It's this time of the year, right? We always we seem to hit this. I know today here in Ontario, I'll tell you what, this is the first sign of spring was today here. We had a beautiful day, and also does make you itch a little bit more for some short track racing.
Yeah, it just puts you in the mood, and the sun has got some warmth in it, and it just gets you thinking summer, and summer makes you think of racing.
Absolutely. How are things coming along? I see the schedule is all up and ready to go. Another masterful job there. You got some wrinkles you're going to throw at it this year, Ken, or is things still under wraps just yet?
Well, there's a few things. It's our 20th year, and we're going to do some things on that, and we're not going to get too crazy with it, but I think we deserve to celebrate 20 years. It doesn't happen very often in our neck of the world, and I don't think it happens very often in a lot of places that a series gets 20 years under their belt. We've got a couple more 200 lappers. The drivers like them, fans like them, and so we're going to try that. We have to be cognizant of the fact that we could run all 250s or 500 laps or whatever we're going to run, but it's just going to drive teams to buy more tires and wears that saw off. It has to be, doable. And that depends on prize money and that type of thing. We're a local or maritime series, and we're running in four of the tracks in the Maritimes. We're not a one-shot race type deal. So we want to keep those guys coming weekly with us and give them a little place to race.
Absolutely, and that's what the Maritime Pro Stock Tour is really all about. Minimum length of race, 150 laps. I know last year we did a triple 50 at Riverside International Speedway. I believe we got that out of the system. 150 laps minimum distance. We've got a couple of 200s this year. One to wrap up at Riverside. And then, of course, the famed 250s, the CAC 250 and the IWK 250, both crown jewels of not only the Maritimes, but Canada, really.
Yeah, they've been around, both of them, a long time. And a lot of, if you go back in history for the IWK 250, there's a lot of drivers coming out of Ontario that raced there, Beamer, Henley, and things like that. And the CAT 250 is similar to that, but we had more racers coming out of Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont coming to race. So there's history in all of them. There's history in everything we do in the sense that we've been blessed with good sponsors that have been around a long time. It makes it easier to do what we have to do. And our guys travel a little bit. It's not they're not spending 8 hours getting to a racetrack, but they can spend half of that or a little more. And so they like to race a little longer. So we went to 150 laps a few years ago, made it good for fans. They seem to like it too. God forbid you'd have a perfect race and no cautions and you'd be over in 30 minutes or something and they'd all be scratching their head like I didn't get my money's worth. And it was some of the best racing you ever saw. So we extended it to make it, worthwhile for fans, worthwhile for drivers, and sponsors like it as well. So it's more of the same. We just tweak here and there, and after some discussions internally and with the teams and even with sponsors, they like to do different things or new things and try things.
Ken, one of the major drivers of success of the Pro Stock Tour, and I think that every driver that we've ever had on has a solid background in racing in the Maritimes, whether it be one of the local tracks or multiple of the local tracks across the board, but the health of the local Saturday night racing is definitely a direct reflection of the health of the top touring series in the Maritimes. And I want to touch base with you about the health of the local scene that takes place every Saturday night across the Maritimes and how that correlates to the success of the Pro Stock Tour. What does that look like? What is happening out there? Are you hearing any news on the short track side that you're seeing? Not on the short track side, on the Saturday night side, that translates into success for the Pro Stock Tour heading into 2020?
I think absolutely, Junior, it helps. I mean, some people strap into a Pro Stock car and go racing and do well. And when I say that, I think of Mike McKenzie. I don't think he's raced anything else in his life. He was crew chief for Greg Stewart for a long time, got in a car and was competitive. But most people start at a lesser level car, less cost, less speed, less need for help and those types of things. And the local tracks, in Scotia Speed World, Riverside runs a restrictor program. Oyster Bed Bridge runs on every Saturday night, and Speedway 660 in Fredericton runs on Saturday nights. And Petty International in Brunswick here, they run 6 or 8 weeks now a year or so, or 6 or 8 events. So it all helps to build. And another thing that's happening in the region is you've got the Maritime League of Legends. And that's a touring series for legend cars. And you have the East Coast Mini Stock series, and that's for four-cylinder cars, and they're doing some touring. Cape Breton opened up last year with new owners, so that's building slowly, but it's building. And it's just the more people you can put in front of race cars, the more they want to see more, it seems. That's what everybody's trying to do. From my perspective on the tour, I could not live without the weekly racetracks. I mean, they're the breeding grounds, the training grounds, And that's the drivers there aspire to get to the tour, most of them. And some of them do, some of them don't. And it's not because they don't want to. It's about sponsorship, about money, time, help, whatever the case may be if they can't do it. But that's where everybody would like to race.
We're with Ken Cutting. He is the general manager for the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour out on Canada's East Coast. It's going to be a dynamite 2020. This is going to be their 20th anniversary for the tour. That's saying a ton about the tour, Ken, I might add. Changes, any kind of rule changes this year? I know there were some years that we changed up qualifying, went to heats. What do we got this year? Is everything going to remain the same as 2019? Or have you got any kind of new twists that are going to be added this year?
Just some tweaks, basically. Anybody that's ever tried to write rules, you sit down, you write it, and you read it, and you say, yep, that's what I'm trying to say. And then the next person comes along and reads it and sees something different. So you're always, you verbally... During the season, the people on board, this is what we want in this area. And it's a constant rewrite and a constant, I guess, fleshing out of really what we're trying to do. So there's not anything really changing. The heat races, we used to use qualifying, like one car at a time in time trials, and that put all the fast cars at the front. And they sort of took off, and it wasn't the best show, or I didn't think it was anyway. So we gave some people chances to go out and run heats off a draw. And we got some new guys at the front. They led laps for longer than they've usually led laps, and it mixes it up. So that has worked, and we're not going to change that. What we're looking to do is have everybody on the racetrack racing somebody of like speed that night. And the speeds, when I say that, times aren't very far off from top to bottom, but at least you've got the guys that are running super quick running with each other, and the other fellows will find themselves, and it provides for good racing all around the racetrack or all over the track.
It sure does. Dynamite racing. Witnessed the last 10 years of it, and I've absolutely loved every single lap of it. When we look at new drivers, potential drivers to go win this year that maybe haven't taken a checkered flag, and we take a look at the guys like crafty veterans like Turpel that isn't going to be in the car full-time in 2020, we could see a changing of the guard again this year. And I know we've seen the changing of the guard pretty well every year, but it could be in for another big switch up.
It could. Everybody's, I don't know if it's the same all over North America, but people I talk to at tracks, it's the same. Everybody's racing until they're not racing. So we don't count our chickens until the registration forms are in they pay their registration, and that's an indication. We have a new driver with us, Gary Elliott, who would be well known in Ontario and probably farther reaching than that in that area. He's moved back. He's from the Truro area, and he's moved back, and he bought himself a car, house, a shop. And the last time I was talking to him earlier this past week, it was going out to have the decals put on it, so he'll be out with it. There's people that will race a little more. I would think that we'll see the boys off the island. McEwen there will be with us a little longer. And there's cars coming out of New Brunswick, a couple of young kids that have raced on and off with us who are getting their feet wet at a pro stock and are dynamite drivers, and they've done really well for themselves. They're just still building the team in the sense of what they need for crew and what they need for sponsorship. So I think it's going to be good as we go forward. I don't know who's going to be in Turple's car. That's the big question here. And I'm sure Stevie Henderson has a line out his shop and down the driveway and down the road outside, everybody trying to get in the seat. But we'll see what happens there. It'll be interesting. I think we're still going to see the battles that we saw before. Cole Butcher and Blankhorn run each other, and they love racing with each other, and more importantly, they love beating each other. So that makes for good racing. Drivers on the island are supportive of the other island drivers, but they want to beat them. They want to be the top island car, so that makes it interesting. And it just, you see some of the older drivers are older in the sense they've been on the tour longer, and the new ones coming in. So, Russell Smith Jr. is working on that car. I expect that to be better, so we'll see what he's done over the winter and how that has affected the car. And it's a wait and see, but the indications are that we've got people that are wanting to come race, and they're putting the ducks in the row and trying to secure funding and crew and all those good things.
We were hoping that you were going to spill some beans about that number zero Dexter construction car, by the way. We were hoping that you were going to spill some, but you didn't at all. You did what everybody else is doing with this whole deal, and you just fluffed it off.
Wait and see.
No, that's not true. I do not know who's going in that car.
I know you don't. I know.
I've asked the question to the car owner and to both of them, and they say, I don't know. we're not sure, and I believe that.
Absolutely.
And no joking aside, I'm sure Steve's phone's rung off the hook. People saying, you still need a driver? I'll run for you. But I'm not sure what they're going to do. I mean, it would be a prime seat to be in. It's good gear. Woody Ryan, before Sean Turple, did well in it. Sean won 3 championships, if memory serves me correct. So it's not a junk car. So anybody would love to be in the thing.
Absolutely, 100%.
And you know, you got to be dedicated. When you get into that car, you're going to have to be as dedicated as what Sean was, as what whoever's been in that car has been. If you're going to want to get in that ride and maintain it, you're going to have to be as dedicated. You're going to have talent, and I know they won't put somebody in it that doesn't have any talent. It's going to be exciting, to say the least, who pops into that zero, Junior.
It will be, 100%. I'm excited and looking forward. That is one of the best opportunities. We've seen it here in Ontario with Jamie Cox in the APC Tour, stepping aside from full-time racing, the 22 APC car. It's just a phenomenal ride, and of course, PD Shepherd ended up in that ride here in Ontario. So, and that was equal to that style of car, you know,
agree.
And equal to that level just on the Maritimes. And I really hope to see a name that doesn't surprise us, because I was surprised at Petey Shepherd, you know, jumping on and being in that car, but it fits so perfectly in hindsight. They put a lot of thought into that,
yeah.
And I'm really excited to see what happens with that zero car. Ken, one thing that I do want to touch on, obviously you see Maritime competitors, pack up and go down south and go down, have some fun and race down in the sun. Like Noggle and like Cole Butcher and like those guys. Do you get a lot of pressure, or is it kind of a feather in the cap that you guys have a different set of rule book or a different set of rules than what a lot of the super late models or pro late model divisions kind of run? You guys have always had some unique rules in your rule book, and it's been, you know, it's no secret. You guys do them for cost containment. But do you get a lot of pressure to allow different rules in the tour?
Define a lot of pressure.
Well, like a lot of pressure from other competitors, maybe from Maine or maybe from the past side or the APC side, because I understand that there's a handful of rules that are significantly different than what you see in conventional pro or super late model racing. Not that they're a bad thing, and I like them, but like the shock rule, like the engine rules, and things like that. Do you get a lot of pressure, or do you get a lot of excitement because of them? What is your stance kind of on the being different?
I don't know. I wouldn't say we get a lot of pressure. Some of our guys that travel would like to have the package, our package, closer to wherever they're traveling to make it easier. But I think in the years they've come to realize that if they're going to travel, they have to, our rules can't be the same as wherever they go, because when they go to certain places, they're not all the same either. So it's a choice on the driver. Now, if you go back when the tour was initially started, Ernie Ledwich was the guy behind the rule portion of it and the on-track type of thing. And Ernie was very wise about racing, given where we're located and what we're coming out of economically and that sort of thing. That the rules were put together absolutely to keep the lid on cost and let the driver and the setup guy sort of put it together. And we've had contact with people that run past and said, geez, I'd like to come up and run one of the 250s or whatever the case may be. If you let me do this and do that, I can come. And it's like, we'd love to have you, but we're not changing the rules to have you.
Exactly.
It's not fair to our guys. What we have works. And the same when our guys are going so fast, so hard, because we got to change this and that. And the crux of the whole thing is the guys who are going south have more than one car anyway, so they're building it for down south. So we're a little bit on an island in that sense, and we're quite happy being on the island, to be truthful. Our car count is good. We're rolling a lot of cars into the tracks that we race at. That brings fans out, and that helps the tracks, and it helps with sponsorship. It helps everywhere. So I'm a firm believer the easiest thing for a promoter to do would be throw the rule book out, say, run what you brought. And within 3 months, you'd have four or five cars left.
Exactly.
And those that had the money would have spent everybody else out of racing, and you wouldn't have any place to race because you wouldn't have a show anymore. So we get inquiries, but I wouldn't say we get pressure to do it. And and then we get guys that I don't want to put heat on anybody, but a well-known racer from the, or I should say racer, past racer, but he's in the car building business and the parts business. Said one day, like, your shocks are junk, but it works. Don't change it.
Yeah,
it works.
Exactly.
And it's our perspective of when we started, and it helps get cars in, and it helps contain the cost. And we're always, the hardest thing for us to do is keep them in the box. Wayne Smith is always trying to build the walls of the box higher, and some of them keep sort of flowing over the edge, and you've got to squeeze them back in. So it's always been that way. It's cat and mouse, and most of them are pushing the envelope, looking for that little something. But for the most part, it's fairly good. So if it's not broken, we're not going to try to fix it. And we'll do year 20, and then next winter we'll look at year 21.
Absolutely, and that's what I love about the Parts for Trucks Tour. I have been one of those guys that have written rules for a late model series, and it is a tough game, I guarantee you. And guys standing on the other side saying, well, if you allow this, I'll come and run. I got mad respect for you guys for sticking to the book and saying, here's the book. If you want to come and race with us and run for some of the best money in Canada and the prestige of it and everything else, you got to fit this rule book, guys. And that is the way to do it. You guys are doing it right on the money. And I'm so glad to hear that, you guys are sticking to it. I love it.
Well, it's tough. I mean, we've been in some situations where we've had some events where people have been outside, way outside that box. And it's like, sorry, guys, but the rules say this, and that's the rule. And it's affected some, potential championships, and it's affected, finish positions. And I guess that the way we look at it is, here's our rule book, here's our procedures, here's what we want you to do. Don't make us to have to make a call on you, because you know where you're supposed to be and you know what you need to have. And we will make the call. Not that we want to make the call, but we will make the call. So don't force it on us.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the officials do a dynamite job, too, of sticking with those rules, sticking with the procedure, and putting the show down the same each and every time. And that's what's awesome about it, my friend. I know I can't wait for 2020 to kick off. Race number one for you guys is going to come up at Petty International Raceway, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what. What do you got now, Ken? You got a show between now and then, right? You guys got a big show out there on the East Coast that some fans can come out and maybe get a glimpse of a car or two.
Yeah, I don't have dates or anything. We go in a local a show in Halifax. We get some of the cars out there, and they're like candy, and they sort of attract people over. And it's hard to do shows. It's hard to get cars because guys are working on their own timeline and putting their cars together. But God love them. They make sure they get a car if they committed to it. And it's really an interesting thing to see, because we have more racers come out, or as many racers as fans come out. And we're always trying to get the racers, like, move on, go over there and talk, don't block up the booths, and let us get the fans in here. So everybody's keen at that point of the year. They want to, you know, they want to get back to the racetrack, and that, you know, all we're doing is waiting for the weather to come and that type of thing. So it's, you know, it's an odd phenomenal thing, but every spring, you know, I look forward to racing. Every fall, I look forward to it being over. But And once it's over, you get a couple weeks off, and then you're thinking, geez, I wish we were racing again.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. It's all consuming during the summer. That's the issue, I guess. It's with the travel and everything else that we're doing. So anyway, but it's you know, if we weren't doing this, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be going to races anyway. So
yeah, Jackie'd still be. She'd still know where you are on a Saturday night. I can guarantee that.
Yeah. She hasn't been around as much, but now that she has her hip in order, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you have to watch out. Now she can catch you, Kenny.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Good stuff. Hey, I know fans can stay up on the Pro Stock Tour website and, of course, Twitter, Facebook, all of that. When the shows come up, you'll find out who's going to be in it. And anything that comes up, you can guarantee Racetime Radio is going to have it on here. But we sure appreciate your time tonight there, partner.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. And I hope everybody across the country is in the same boat, in the sense they're looking forward to racing. And the promoter's prayer is no rain. And I'm not very good at it down here, so if somebody has across the world here somewhere that has a better way of controlling the weather, I'd love to hear it. But anyway, we're looking forward to get going, and like I said, that first sunny day that's warm above zero, it gets everybody thinking, and it'll be here before you know it. When next week is the end of February, and now we're in March, so it's coming fast.
Just a couple months out. Can't wait for it to get here. Do me a favor. Say hi to Scotty and Jackie, everybody out there. And I know I look forward to catching up with you real soon there, Mr. Ken Cutting.
All right, Joe. Appreciate it. Junior, thanks a lot.
Hey, you have a good one, Kenny.
Have a good one. That is Ken Cunning, the GM of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour, also at Scotia Speed World as well for the Friday night show. You can bet get Ken controls that as well for Cecil Vance. I look forward to seeing Tara Foster and Jason Foster and everybody back out there. They're family, man.
Yeah,
they're family. I can't 100%. Wait to get back out there.
Jessica will be pissed that you didn't say her name.
Oh, well, I haven't got there
listening.
Yet. Well, I know. Jess
said,
and Larry.
You said Tara. You said Tara, and then you
well, know, you see, my mind was on Scotia.
I know,
and at
but
Scotia,
I'm just saying.
It's Tara.
I'm just saying.
Jess does show up every now and then for Scotia. But when it's the tour, then Jessica fits right in there and Larry and everybody out there. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to grab one of those competitors, Junior, that I'm going to go on record right now saying he is going to win a Maritime Pro Stock Tour race. He's going to have a checkered flag in 2020. I'm not sure exactly what track. This guy could have multiple wins. He drives the number 54. Jared Butcher is going to join us on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We will be back.
Hi, I'm Don Thompson, Jr., and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt-Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Race Time Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Did you just have a brain fart?
Begging your pardon, sir?
I resent it when people fart inside my office.
Ah, there's a summer tune for you. It's getting closer, everybody. It's getting closer. Can't wait for the season to kick off. Welcome back to Race Time Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the Race Time Radio studio. And we are going to go back to the hotline. We're going to go back out to the east coast of Canada, get right into that province of Nova Scotia, and get right into the Butcher Racing Shop. We're going to bring in, I know you're used to hearing Cole on this show all the time, but you know what? He does have a brother. He drives the number 54. And I'll tell you what, Cole's got a problem this year, because I believe Cole is going to have to make some room for Jarrett. This guy is going to win some races this year. Drives the number 54, and he's with us now on the hotline. Jarrett Butcher, how are you tonight, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic, my friend. How's the off-season treated you? You got those 54 cars lined up ready to rock and roll?
We're getting there. You know, it's been long. Trying to keep busy between race cars and snowmobiling, but we got about halfway together. We set the motor in my car there yesterday, and we're just mocking some things up on it, and hopefully have it have the body on it, end of probably middle of March. So
nice,
getting there.
Getting there. Now, the biggest thing, and kind of leading into this entire conversation, Dad mentioned it here, but you've got some winning to do, and I think that everybody in the Pro Stock Tour has their eye on you to go out there. Have you built a trophy case for yourself yet? Because your trophy case has got to be separate than Cole's, right?
I haven't got one for myself yet. You know, it'd be nice to have more trophies than Cole. And you know, someday hopefully that will happen.
Absolutely.
You know, the goal this year is to win and to have multiple wins. You know, I think we could have had that. I think that goal could have been achieved last year, just, you know, circumstances and you know, just the way the races played out.
Absolutely, 100%. You had some really strong runs last year, and some definite bright spots in 2019, and a lot of momentum heading into 2020. Talk a little bit about the platform that you guys are putting together for 2020, and obviously getting things mocked up, getting the body put on it. But what do you attack differently heading into 2020? Obviously, you guys have some great equipment. You guys have great alliances with some very smart people on the chassis side and motor side and all the way across the board. What do you do differently?
I don't know, you know, what exactly we can do different. I mean, Cole, obviously, he has shown everyone what he can do. And, you know, me, a lot of it, I think, is just myself as a driver, getting the confidence, getting the, you know, the experience over the years. And last year was a big experience, you know, just restarts and leading laps and knowing when to go hard and when not to. You know, this, I was happy with my car last year, so I'm going to go back with the same car this year. Actually, we are in the process of completely rebuilding it from the ground up. The only thing that probably be the same on the car will probably be the chassis. We re-powder coated it, re-sheet metaled everything. You know, we were happy with it. And, you know, a lot of it's just building off the 2019 momentum and, you know, getting the experience that I had last year and, you know, bringing it in the 2020.
How much different? You know, you hear it on the Cup side. If you watch a Cup race, you know, they talk about teammates. You guys are through and through teammates. The Butcher team, when you guys roll into the racetrack, you guys are hands-on, you know, all hands on deck for both cars, and really any car that you guys bring to the racetrack. But how much different is your driving style? I think that you would have a pretty good understanding by now. How much different is your driving style from your brother's? And what do you like more than what Cole does and vice versa?
You know, when we first got into pro stock racing and, when I first got into pro stock racing, I always felt my driving style was a little different than Cole's. You know, Cole always looked like he had it like the loose car, always driving on the edge, which you have to do, but it just looks like he could have a car that go to control and still be in control. And over time, you know, we tried different setups and we tried running his setups, and a lot of it was you know, just me driving the car myself, you know, learning what to do, you know, how aggressive you can be with the setup. And I actually went back to what Cole ran in the car that I'm running now, because it used to be his, and a lot of what he ran is what I ran this year, and you know, we were pretty similar.
Real close. And the results too, right, Jared? The results were kind of similar.
They were. You know, we didn't win, but we had a lot of good runs. You know, led lots of laps. There's probably, you know, there's a couple bittersweet ones there, you know, especially the last one. But we're going to build off that and hopefully run for a championship.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome to watch. I can guarantee you that. You're going to be solid then in the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour. Are you going to do all the races 2020?
Yep, that's the plan. And, you know, hopefully do a couple other races.
Nice. So you're going to be full-time championship bound. That's what it's going to be. You're going to go after that title. And, my friend, I do believe you are one of those guys that absolutely everybody's got to keep their eye on, not just for wins, but, Jarrett, what I've seen out of you in the last couple of years, your consistency is right there, man. You're coming right into the right zone now. And it takes a little while, right, to get the feel of everything and to get, like you say, the confidence underneath you that you can go out and do this.
It does. You know, the confidence is huge. You know, last year, actually, 2018, we didn't have a great season, and the confidence wasn't there for our whole 54 team. And it made it hard, and it made it hard trying to go week to week because you just didn't have that. You know, we went into 2019, and the first race of the year, I think we got fifth. And second race, we were running for a chance to win the race, and, you know, that made a big difference. And hopefully in 2020, we will have another big spike of confidence and, you know, win races. That's what, you know, makes you propel yourself every week and makes yourself want to be better, is running consistent, running good every single week.
All right. This is hypothetical time because it's the off season. That's all we can do. There's a lot of snow on the ground, right?
Yeah, not so much in Nova Scotia as I'd like to, but
I hear you. We got a lot of snow here, but we still can't go racing because it's not summertime. So it's hypothetical time. It's two laps to go in the IWK 250 in 2020. The 53 car, your brother, is out front. You're out back in second. You're faster by a tenth. Okay, so you're faster by a tenth. Do you move them for the win? And if so, where? If so, where? If so, where? Where are you going to move them? Is it turn one and two, or is it turn three and four? Come to the checkers. It's two laps to go. You're better on both ends by a tenth. Where are you moving them? Are you going to try to make it clean and then wash out? What are you going to do?
Definitely move them. Not wreck them because, you know,
no, it
doesn't
end wreck
well for either one of us, you know, especially both of us get sent back. But, It's hard to say where you'd make the pass. You know, if you make it off turn two, well, you better make sure you get clear of him and don't let him get a chance to get back to you. But, you know, probably for me, I would try to do it going, probably actually I would say off turn two, just because, you know, you take that chance doing a turn three and four, and, you know, our tracks, you have to get them pretty good in order to get them washed up enough. You know, our tracks are a two groove track, so, you know, they can always drag race you back to start finish line. But if you get them off turn two, it gives you the back stretch and hopefully three and four, you can, you know, maybe wash up a little bit and, you know, get them out of the way.
Yeah, you see, Junior, you are you haven't seen enough of Cole and Jarrett race. You've been able to listen,
that's right,
but you haven't witnessed it. I'll tell you, anybody that is a Pro Stock Tour fan that's at the track and has watched these guys, I could have answered that question. Jarrett would undoubtedly. I've watched these guys in heat races, and you would never know they're brothers. They have ultimate respect for one another, but I'll tell you what, both want to win. And it doesn't matter whether it's a heat race or whether it is the IWK 250, Cat 250, or any of the above, these guys go at it hard.
Absolutely.
Every one of those laps is a qualifying laps for these guys.
That's why I'm asking it. Yeah. I know for a fact that that you would move him. And I know for a fact he would move you back.
Oh, yeah.
But I just wanted to know where he would do it. You know,
where
at the IWK 250, I think that, you know, I come to agree with you. I think that, you know, you would try to make it clean down through one and two, and then you'd kind of use them up a little bit, you know, kind of door to door off of two and have them lose the momentum. So you got them down into three, but his only option is to crowd you down into three.
Well, you better be able to go, like Jarrett says. You got to
right.
be able to go, because if
right.
Cole gets back to you.
You don't want to get him square to your back bumper, because then you know that you're getting punted.
You're not going to finish.
I experienced that already.
that's where this whole deal is driven off of. But, man, I love the... I love the atmosphere of two teammates that want it. And then on the brotherly side, the racing between two brothers has always been some of the coolest racing to me. You know, you look at just back in the day, you know, you look at the Waltrip boys and how they would race each other. And, you know, you look at the Hamiltons and, you know, that's yeah. father and son. But family yeah. members, when they race each other, man, you guys are ruthless.
Well, the Reed brothers. I'll point at the two Reed brothers, especially at Riverside International Speedway. I'll tell you what, they both love one another. But yep. when they're on the racetrack, I'm first, he's second. That's yep. the way this is going to work
100%.
Out. 100%. Jarrett. Tell us about the crew you got assembled for 2020. Who have you got on the crew ready to go for this year?
You know, I got most of my same crew. I got Kirk Alexander spotting for me. Adam Mean spotted for me last year, but he's moving on from that and going on to the dirt side. But I got Greg Baker is my crew chief. Kirk Alexander spotting. I got my buddy Matt Turplew does my tires for me, and I got Dad, who actually moved over a little bit from Cole to my team last year. He kind of bounced back and forth, but, you know, he tried to focus on me some. So, Eric, both me and Cole's team, we try to work together more so. Like, you know, you don't see it as much at the racetrack, you know, more so at the shop. But, you know, we both try to help each other depending on, you know, the circumstances. You know, if one guy get damaged or the other guy. But, that, you know, for the most part, I'm keeping all my crew, losing one guy, Adam, but, you know, I knew that, and I get a bunch of good guys, so, you know, I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, good stuff. How about the car? Have you got the look of the car figured out this year? I know when we see the two Butcher cars come out, the 53, the 54, the 53 is always red, Atlantic Tilt Load, we see the 54, it's always black. What are we doing this year? Is it going to be the same?
You know, I always like to change it up a little bit. You know, I like the design I had last year, so I'm thinking of going back with that. You know, kept me and Cole separate, and you know, I like red just as much as Cole, but you know, I like the black too, and I think a lot of people liked it.
Absolutely, it's going to be off the hook. I know, I can't wait. Social media wise, you're on Facebook. How about Twitter? How about all of that? How can fans stay up with you?
I'm not on Facebook, and you know. We got the Butcher Racing Twitter. Actually, I got to get on, you know, at least Twitter. I, you know, update some, you know, at least leave people updated and stuff. You know, Facebook, you know, you see a lot of controversy on there. So I try to stay away from that if I can.
I hear you. No problem with that whatsoever. Final question for you tonight. I know Cole loves running south of the border to get the season fired up. I know you probably go down and give him a hand. Is there a chance we're going to see the 54 starting to pick up some laps early in the season, or are you going to wait till the Pro Stock Tour fires up?
You know, I, you know, there was talk about me going down to Oxford Plains for the season opener down there. I don't, as of right now, I don't think we are, but I would like to. I plan on doing a couple races, at least a couple races down south after the season for sure. So I can't promise start of the season, but I can promise that after the Pro Stock season.
Absolutely no problem with concentrating on the Parts for Trucks Tour. I can guarantee you this is going to be your year. I believe, Jarrett, this is going to be fans are going to get their money's worth when they see that 54 roll through the gate. I can tell you that.
Thank you. And, you know, that's the plan. Hopefully we can get one more spot this year.
All right. Who rides the snowmobile harder, you or Cole?
Actually, Cole hasn't gone sledding much in the last
right.
probably 3 years. I got a new one there about two years ago now, so I try to go out as much as I can. I've only been out about 4 or 5 times this year, and hopefully get out another 1 or 2 more times.
Attaboy.
And here's hoping that you do it in the next week, because, man, we need some spring. Enough of this snowmobile crap.
As much as I love snowmobiling, I love racing more.
You betcha, Jerry. We thank you for your time tonight. We really appreciate it. And go get that thing going. As soon as you get the car all ready to go, will you do me a favor and send us some photos so we can get the fans all itching and excited to get out?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much for having me.
You betcha. That's Jarrett Butcher, driver of the 54 in the Maritimes, the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Always, always one of those competitive cars. I think back a couple of years, he was getting in. And, yeah, that's Cole's brother. That's just Cole's brother. And he was going out. He was doing top 10 finishes, you know, around the 10th spot. Well, tell you what, 2019, what a difference. It was a difference between night and day. In qualifying, you would see him go. In the feature events, watch out. Jarrett was on. I'm telling you, he was right there. Now, I think back to it was one of the Scotia races. Jarrett was in the lead. He had this race going really good. Cole was saving his tires. And who else was up there? I want to say it was a 67 car, Dylan Blankhorn. Cole and Dylan were worn it out. Jarrett was up front, and he was going. He was going. I thought, you know what? Jarrett's got this race. And all of a sudden, things started going away a little bit on Jarrett's car. These two guys started coming. And when they got up to Jarrett, Cole moved him. He moved him under the way, and he said, there's nothing I could do. I had to go.
Absolutely.
Moved him under the way, and Jarrett didn't go to victory lane that night. But I'll tell you what, I gained huge respect for Jarrett that night. He is going to be a winner. He's just got to get a few of those things. That's experience.
Yeah, 100%.
Huge.
Well, the first year that Cole Butcher jumped onto the tour, he didn't win either.
No.
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that. No, I don't think he did. He didn't win the first year.
I don't think he did.
Regardless, he's, he's came a long way himself.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
And that Butcher program, stout late model team, man, just the amount of depth that they have is incredible. The amount of work ethic that they have, they set the bar very high. And, when you look at the powerhouse teams on the east side, you have to point to the Butchers being very strong.
Yes, sir.
And kind of on an island themselves because they use a distance racing chassis. I don't know what Jared uses. We didn't ask. I would imagine a distance as well. But when you look at the powerhouse teams, you would have to say that the Butchers, the amount of data that they can generate, in-house is huge because they've got two, very aggressive young drivers behind the wheel. And they put a lot of laps down. You would also have to point to that Zero team that Ken Cunning alluded to, right? It's the Dexter Construction team, just a phenomenal race team, as well as the King Racing team. King, I would say, is the powerhouse out there just simply on the data side because of how many cars that they have on the racetrack.
They need to be full-time back on that tour.
But
they really do.
They have full-time guys, though. They have full-time guys that they work with, Jonathan Hicken.
No, I know that.
And that type of thing.
I know that.
I'm talking on the team side of things.
The tour, they got to be full tilt if they're going to be out there competing with these guys on a... they show up to this event or that event, and they're always going to be guaranteed strong.
Yeah.
But on a full-season schedule...
Which I think they are with Austin McDonald. Right.
I hope so.
Looking the last time that we had Austin on, I believe he said he was going to be full time in the Pro Stock Tour. So, but I think that they are full time, signed up. If they're not, it would surprise me.
Yeah.
Just with the young, I don't think that it's going to be full time with Cassius Clark.
No.
Who has a tremendous amount of experience, but the youth side of things with Austin McDonald, they also work with the Reed boys that you touched on.
Yep.
They work with Jonathan Hicken, and they work with a number of the other island guys as well. I believe Chris Hughes a little bit, the 32, gets some work done with them and shares a lot of notes back and forth and things like that. So, there's a tremendous amount of depth from front to back in that tour at any given race, and there's going to be a different lineup. But when I look at the Butcher team, the amount of knowledge, the amount of useful data, and the amount of aggression, I would have to say that they're the powerhouse team of the East Coast.
Yep.
And I think that they're positioning themselves to be that for long term. It's not just a short term deal.
Oh, they're going to be good in 2020. They're going to definitely be one of those teams that you got to watch. If they go full tilt, if both of them go full tilt in this tour, the championship is... Man, I'll tell you what, if you're going to win the championship, you're going to have to go through those two guys to do it.
Yep.
It's going to be incredible. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on news and highlights. Takes 90 seconds. We'll throw it back to Scott there in Toronto. He'll get you up to date, and then we will be back for hour two. We'll switch the conversation over to APC. We got two hot shoes coming at us. in this next hour, so you don't want to go anywhere. Joe Lawrence and Jake Sheridan coming up.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio. With the two Joes here on Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight. And welcome back to Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior right here on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Or maybe you're tuned in throughout the course of the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. Thanks for doing that. Or how about 98.9 XFM, Andy Ganish, Nova Scotia, or Gearhead Country Radio, or maybe you went to iTunes and searched Racetime Radio and you're listening on demand whenever you feel like it. You can do that. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe when you hit iTunes. We'd much appreciate it. But let's get back to the show, shall we? And let's welcome in our next guest. This driver is an APC presented by Grisdale competitor. He drives the number 78. He's got to have a big smile on his face after Joey Logano went to Victory Lane today in Vegas with Pennzoil on his car. Because I'll tell you what, Joe Lawrence has got Pennzoil on his car. So these guys, somewhat teammates. Brothers from a different mother. They went to different schools together, all of that kind of stuff. Joe, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Not bad at all. How's the off-season treated you, my friend?
Pretty good, actually. We're having lots of fun getting ready for the race season here.
Ah, you get that 78 looking like a 78, or is it still all in pieces yet?
Well, it's still a little in pieces, but it'll be coming together pretty quickly.
Joe, tell us about that car, because you were one competitive driver in the APC series. You must have a good chunk underneath you, and I'll tell you what, you hit our radar last year and the year before. You're one of those guys you got to keep your eye on in APC. Whose chassis are you using?
Well, thank you for that. We got a McCall chassis, and we always got a fast team with us, especially to go with the car. It's important to have a good team behind you, too. So I definitely think we got that, and I think we're making improvements for this year to be even better.
Yeah, tell us about that crew you got assembled. Who have you got on top of the box? Who you got helping you out each week?
I got my buddy I work with, Paul Noah Jr. He's the main guy making all the calls for the car. We've kind of bonded over the last couple of years. We worked together for a while, and then I kind of just, thankfully, APC and Pennzoil came on board, and they really were the ones that made this happen, and it's can't thank them enough for that to give an opportunity like this to us.
To the 78, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then obviously, I truly, a couple dedicated guys, Joel, my brother Chris, always comes to help when he can, Biffy, Matt, we got a couple others, and not very good at remembering names, so I hope I don't miss anybody. But that's the gist of them.
You've always got a clan with you, with the Lawrence clan rolling into the back gate. Always a tremendous amount of fun for sure. Joe, talk about is this your first time on Racetime Radio? I think it is. It's the first time that I've ever been on with you on the air. Now I know we've interviewed you at a racetrack before, but this is your first time on the air, right?
Yeah, definitely first time on the air.
All right.
Pretty interesting.
So on your kind of your background, I've been watching you race for for years. You and Chris both. But I give the fans kind of a little bit of feedback that led you to the APC Tour. I think back to seeing you behind the wheel at Delaware Speedway, but I kind of cover off what you've been behind the wheel of leading up to this point.
I guess my career started when very young, at the age of 10. It was kind of a funny story. I was a bit of a daredevil child in the yard with whatever toys my parents got me. So it kind of came to a point where my mom said that the next thing I get has to have a roll cage and go to a racetrack. So my dad showed up one day with a junior late model to go racing at Delaware. And from there, just the fun and the joy was really there, and it kicked off the career great. But we ran that for, I want to say, 5 or 6 years. I had just a blast, some great experience, made tons of friends. We traveled to Grand Bend, Flamborough, Varney, Sauble, and all over the place, and every track was a blast, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Then we went off to Super Stocks at Delaware Speedway, ran there for a bit, and then we kind of had, I had a little bit of a downtime, because I sold my Super Stock, and I went to school in the States for a couple of years. So about a year and a half, I wasn't really doing any racing myself. And then this is, I started working at McCall Racing, and Paul at the time was helping Nick Getz with the limited late models at Sunset Speedway. So we decided it'd be great for me to go there and learn even more. It was going to be a good experience. And Nick at the time actually decided to own two cars, so he's contemplating running the backup car every once in a while, just to add to the field and have some fun with it. It was a good group thing, and it was always fun with those guys. So he ended up putting me in the car a couple times. We had a couple of really good races, and I think that's really where Paul and I clicked, and everything seemed to work well. We just knew, like, a well-oiled machine, pretty much. I said I wanted this, and he's on top of it from there on. But
that was a cheesy pun, by the way. The Pennzoil tied in with the well-oiled machine. That was a sponsor plug, just so you know.
And a good one.
And a good one too. You did good.
Good one.
You done good.
Thank you. So yeah, we didn't really. When the APC series first came out, I helped a couple of teams. I never really imagined driving and racing in it. I wanted to. I just never saw the funding or the opportunity. So it was kind of that dream that was just sitting there for one day, maybe. And that one day came when Luke Ramsey and Jamie Cox came up to me at a limited late model race at Sauble. They asked me if I could drive the 22 car one race. And it was just one of those moments where it pinched me. I think I'm dreaming, because that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're right. That's telling you, man, you got talent. When those guys come a knocking, and that's cool. Continue.
Yeah, definitely. Someone like Jamie Cox, he grew up watching, just like unbelievable and modified late models. Just one guy to always put on a show, and just unbelievable to watch. It was one of those dream moments that, you know, I want to grow up and be as fast as that guy. And to have him ask me to drive his car is like, whoa, didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that one coming.
So we took advantage of that, and that was my first ever start, and got to start on the pole, which made me quite a bit more nervous about that one. But it ended up well. I think we got a top five in that race. And then from there, Pennzoil was looking to get into the APC series, and it just worked out that we had a car, and APC and Pennzoil wanted to go together on it and put a car on the track. So it was kind of like a test for the first season, and we did really well, a couple poles, a couple top fives, really strong car, but I couldn't believe the amount of talent in that series, and just how up the level of seriousness it is. It's It was unbelievable and so much fun. And I'm really excited to take what I've learned last year and bring it into this year with APC and Pennzoil.
We're with the number 78 in the APC series. It's Joe Lawrence. He's the driver, team owner, and ready to go for 2020. Joe, will this be a full season for you in 2020 with the Tour?
That is the attempt. We're going to do our best to run every race, and ideally we're going for a championship, and we obviously want to have fun on the way and keep the car up front where it should be.
Joe, talking, you know, a little bit through your career, obviously the junior late models were a lot of fun. I imagine you had to wear a mouth guard because it was so bumpy at Delaware Speedway, though, right? Like that, driving a junior late model through the infield at Delaware Speedway is, I mean, there's motocross tracks that are smoother, right?
Surprisingly, these cars were really, on a bad day, you got roughed around a bit. But
for
if
sure.
You had the car working really good, it was hardly noticeable how rough a track could be.
That's cool. Going forward through that and kind of talking about your super stock days, when you were racing super stock at Delaware Speedway, it was, and I don't know the year frame, but I remember watching you down there. It would have been when you know, Gressel was racing down there and kind of through that that period, the regular Saturday night period. At the super stock class that you ran in back then, and looking at the names that ran super stock then and now are either in OSCAR or they're in in the APC Tour or even up into the late model ranks now at Delaware, man, you raced that super stock class when you were in it was so stout, it was so strong. Do you pull much information? Do you pull much knowledge from those days in driving an APC car now? Because you guys were it was some of the best racing back then. I remember, seeing door to door finishes. Some of the craziest moments that I've seen in racing was through that kind of era in the super stocks at Delaware.
I definitely agree. Information-wise, obviously the cars are very,
sure.
very different.
Very different.
So you can't bring much of a driving style. I feel like you have to adapt to the series a lot differently than you do with the super stock. But I think the biggest thing you can learn from there is just the respect from the drivers is a really big thing. You know, you go to the track and everybody's there to help each other, even good day, bad day. You know, there's the support and the respect, and just the racing family is insane to see how much they help each other.
Do you?
But definitely, the class of the field was very strong, and it's much like you said, they're all moving up now. Is I think my brother and I looked at it, and I wanted to say there's 8 or 9 super stock drivers that are now in late models at Delaware alone.
For sure.
And that's just crazy to see everybody moving up through the rankings and doing so well at it.
100%. It was, thinking back to it and seeing the races that you guys would put on, now super stock at Delaware still doesn't have radios, but there was no radios, but there would be, 18 to 22 cars any given night. Some of the closest competition in short track racing in Ontario and you could never tell who was going to win when you got there and watched practice and you watched the heats. You could never tell who was going to win the feature. You know, it wasn't like there was like 3 standout guys. It was literally 15 guys could win on any given night. And
that's cool.
And when you look at the APC Tour today, I can draw a lot of comparisons to from the health of that class back then to where the super or where the APC late model tour is right now. Obviously completely different cars, completely different setup, different metrics, more money, all the things. But when you would show up, there would be 15 guys within a tenth and a half of each other, and it's the same way in the APC tour. So it's really interesting that you came out of that. I look at Matt Robley as another guy who spent a lot of time both in late models and then in super stocks as well. At that point, your brother Chris as well, and throw out a couple other names that were in those super stocks back then that you raced against. There was you know, I'm going to leave it up to you, but throw out a couple names that you raced against, that you still race against today, just in the late model side.
Well, definitely, it's hard to name them all, but I had Brandon Verhoeven out there for a while in the Super Stocks. He's up there in the late models now. Jeff Schaller was one that was very good at Delaware, ran through the trucks up in the Super Stocks, and he's out there in an Oscar Modified a couple times this season. Running fairly strong from what I've noticed.
Absolutely.
I remember the one race I remember we had at Delaware Invitational, and this was the first time I ever heard the name or met the guy. And Sean Chenoweth showed up with this old, beat up looking Flamborough car. And I learned that day that looks going to be pretty deceiving because that car was very, very fast.
Sean's
a very good, clean driver. I've had a lot of fun racing him this year when we have, and I feel like there's a very good respect.
Yeah, awesome. He is one of those bullets you definitely got to watch, especially in the APC Tour when he's there. Look out. You got a favorite track, Joe, that you're going to be heading to with the APC Series this year, one that you're going to look at and say, this is it, man, this is going to be the 78th day?
That's a really tough one, to be honest. I really do love all the tracks. Each track has a unique character to it that it's just so hard to pick one that I love the most. Delaware is obviously a home track to me. It's been there for me since the beginning, so I would love to pick up my first APC win there. That would be amazing. But there's so many options. I've raced the Sauble, had a couple wins there. Sunset is it's become more of a home to me too lately. Just the guys and the crew, the staff, everybody there is so friendly, and it's I love talking to all of them. And then you got Jukasas on there. It's a beautiful track and just such fun racing there. It's just hard to narrow it down to one, to be honest.
Are you sure you're not a politician? You just listed all the racetracks, man. Just listed all of them.
He's ready to go.
Every single one of them. I mean, you should get into politics instead of racing, apparently. No, I'm just kidding with you. I was going to chime in and just say Delaware before you answered, because I figured that was what was going to come out of your mouth. I'm actually surprised that I know I'm 100% wrong. It's going to be interesting. I know, looking at 2020, Joe, what is the difference in the program this year? Do you got a new car, or are you guys revamping what you guys had? What's the piece underneath you for the race number one in APC?
Well, we haven't quite decided which car we have planned yet. It'll be a McCall chassis, obviously, and we're deciding what's the best route to go for our team and what will give us the best performance out of the gate and really try and get a win at the Sunset start.
Cool.
So it's tough to say right now, but we'll have a strong piece come race season.
Now, will you have more than one car, Joe, prepared for the season? Like, do you guys have a primary car and a backup?
No, this year we took that. One thing we took away from last year was just having two cars. It was really fun, but it was really tough to maintain and stay on top of. So we sat down and we decided we want full focus on the APC series, and that's our primary goal, is to show up for those races and be up front every race.
Yeah, and you've got a good team behind you, too. Anything that does happen to crop up, I know things happen, especially in competitive racing like you get in the Tour. But as long as you got a good team assembled around you, you guys can pretty well deal with whatever, you know, sort of arises throughout the course of the year where you're not going to miss the next race.
That's for sure. I definitely have a team, not only just figuring out cars for a racetrack, but even if we're having a bad night, they never give up, and we salvage the best we can, and it pays off in the long run for sure.
How about sponsorship? I know Pennzoil's on there, APC. Anybody else, and how's that front coming along?
Well, obviously we've got APC Pennzoil. They've done so much for us, and it's just great to have them on board. I always have my mom's support. We haven't put her name on the car lately, but maybe we'll sneak it on there this year for her. She likes to hide in the background as a supporter. and then the crew, they obviously help so much with just the time and effort. They it's a lot of time during the week to get these cars ready. Every team knows it. It can't thank them enough for what they do. Obviously, Nick and Great Lakes Concrete, they really helped start my season and start my career in the APC. So can't thank them enough for all their help.
So when will you have it all put together, painted, lettered, ready to go racing and shut the trailer door? Will that come just ahead of the race, or do you plan on having it done substantially sooner than that?
Well, we'll plan to have it done sooner than that. We obviously got to get out there and practice and try some new things and see what we like and see what we need to bring come race day. So come, I guess, we always say that the car is never ready, so it's hard to say. You could keep work on it even 2 hours before the race starts, but
yeah,
it's as ready as it gets when you close the trailer door and you're ready to go racing.
Hey, yeah. Man, it's APC. I mean, even once the cars are impounded, guys are trying to change tape here and tape there, you know. It's
typical racers,
absolutely,
never happy.
It's never done. you know, you see these guys, they go over and they'll adjust the tire pressures about 18 times. So it's it definitely never done. The work is never done, and that's what provides the great racing that we all love. And best of luck in 2020, man. I know it's been a pleasure watching you race up until this point, and looking forward to seeing what you guys can put together. Also, you guys have got a bone stock put together. I expect to see that up here at the beach when the APC series is off. So looking forward to seeing the bone stock that you and Chris are working on.
Yeah, hopefully he's got a couple. So I haven't really talked to him much about what his plan is there, but he's got enough that he can make a good show with them.
Absolutely.
It's going to be fun, I can guarantee you. Joe Lawrence, thanks so much for the time tonight. You get that 78 ready to go, man. APC ain't that far away. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You betcha. That's Joe Lawrence. Watch for him. He is definitely going to light the lamp this year. You watch. He had some really, really good shows last year. Solid finishes. I know we took note to him a number of times. I thought, man, we got to get that guy on the show.
Yeah,
he's
a good cat. You know, they come from good roots, and watching Joe race, you know, he's the type of guy. And you know, if I was racing a late model and I was racing on the outside of somebody, there's only a few names that I would really want to be on the outside of. You know, and Joe Lawrence is that guy.
Joe Lawrence is
a very smart race car driver, and like, he gets the most out of the equipment. He's aggressive. He'll put it in there,
right?
You know, a guy like Joe Lawrence, I draw a lot of similarities in driving style between him and Matt Pertigo, they're both, you know, they're up on the wheel. They're very alert and aggressive, but they maximize what the car is going to give them, and it's likely going to come back to the shed the way that it looked when it rolled out onto the racetrack. So a heads up racer, he gets everything that he can get out of it, but doesn't try to take more. You know, he's one of the guys that has got a head on his shoulders out there. I look forward to big things. And a guy's name that keeps coming up here.
Yeah.
Jamie Cox,
yes,
right? It's a guy's name that keeps coming up. I know he's stepping away from full-time racing, but Jamie Cox, you know, it's neat to see his role and where his role is going to be in motorsports. Not necessarily in motorsports, but in the APC Tour.
Yes.
You know, he's a mentor. A lot of people can pull a lot of value from Jamie Cox.
Yeah.
Just the way that he handles himself at the racetrack, the way that he's built his career, and continuing to mentor guys like Joe Lawrence. You know, he's a wealth of knowledge and a hell of a wheelman. So he would be a great guy to have in your corner.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what the future holds. We'll find out more as we go through. I can guarantee it. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, more APC talk with a real hot shoe. Driver of the number 52, Jake Sheridan, is going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans, this is Jason White. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks. Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself, Mad Dog. Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. That's a little bit of Ked bringing us back. A little bit of Ked. That guy's got magic fingers.
I thought he
on
goes. He's the last break of the night. This isn't the last break of the night yet.
No. It's the third break. I change things up a little bit.
You do change things up.
Well,
sometimes.
You gotta
keep
like
it fresh.
Got to be like these race
Thanks,
guys.
Ked. Yeah. Thanks, Ked.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, next up on the hotline, we've got Nick's brother, Jake Sheridan. How are you, Jake Sheridan?
Hey, good, Joe. I'm good.
Did you like that?
It's getting pretty familiar now. I used to be known as Ron's boy. Now it's just Nick's brother all the time.
That's why I went there. So we're off the air, right? We're off the air. We're waiting to come back from the commercial break. And I looked at Dad and I said, "All right, you got to introduce, you know, Jake, and you got to say and Nick's brother." And he said, "I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
You do it." And I said, "Absolutely, I'll do that."
He's picking on you, Jake.
I pick on him every chance I get.
Yeah,
he's such a good kid.
Easy anymore. Nick makes it too easy.
He does. He does, man.
Champion. He did a good job on that dirt, didn't he?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He impressed us all. He raised a lot of heads, and he's a lot of fun to be part of it.
Well, I guess, and you know, the secret to his success, of course, is he's got you, and he's got Ron right in his corner, man. Hey, talk about a dream team. There you go.
I like to think so. I mean, obviously, everything we learned comes from somewhere, and Dad's been a big part of all of it. So it's been a lot of fun, and this year is definitely, you know, we all have some of those seasons of up and downs, and Nico, he did an amazing job. He was where he needed to be all the time, and it's pretty cool to be a part of, even just as a brother.
You know, tonight's show, it's a theme that I don't even think we meant it to be a theme, but the families of racing are huge, right? And it seems like there's always, you know, multiple family members involved in everybody's racing, you know, whether it be an official who has a son that's an official, or whether it be a driver that has a son that's a driver, or two brothers. You know, at the beginning of the show, we kicked it off, and you know, we talked to Jared Butcher and his brother. His family is diehard racers, you know. Ken Cunning, his entire family is involved in racing. You know, and then now Joe Lawrence, his entire family has been a staple in motorsports across Ontario, and now Jake Sheridan as well, and next is Jason White, and his entire family is involved in racing.
True.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this show, the amount of family members of all of our guests tonight, and I just want to drive that home to the listener that, you know, the family members portion of tonight's show is impressive and very deep. So
it sure
it's,
is.
You know, looking at your 2019 season, obviously you got a lot of accolades. You got a lot of excitement built up in your corner. You had a great season. You had definitely ups and downs throughout 2019, but you spread your wings a little bit. You got out there and traveled south of the border, turned some laps down at one of the coolest racetracks on Earth. And now your sights are set on 2020. Looking back, obviously 2019, we gotta ask you about bright spots. What were your bright spots last year, Jake?
I mean, we show up. We did the best we could to show up prepared all the time. And as much maybe it didn't look like it with some of the luck we had, we made big gains from 2018 season. And you know, we're still a smaller team, and everybody works together real hard to get it ready to. Throughout the week, and we showed a lot of speed. I mean, I think the first couple of races of the season was pretty big for me. Like those couple podiums at Jukasa, and started playing out. We did good at Delaware there at the beginning, and kind of we went Sauber, and we were really really fast there, and it didn't really work out for us. It didn't go our way, and we ended up on the hook. But it kind of went downhill from there for a little bit. But we were fast pretty much everywhere we showed up, wherever. Where we had it going, we were faster practicing qualifying. We made a lot of gains in qualifying, and I love to see that. I always like to start closer to the front. I mean, it makes it a little easier, but we definitely did a good job that way. In the end of the season, with some of the playoff stuff, the non-point stuff, and Flamborough and Delaware winning that 100-lap Delaware race at the end of the year, that was a pretty big deal. And we sure love beating Flamborough and Nashville. I mean, I call it probably one of the highlights of my stock car racing career. That's the coolest thing I've ever been a part of, and it's been really just an honor to be able to be a part of racing against some of those big guys. Like, you know, every weekend I sit down, I watch Steven Nasky and Bubba Pollard and all those guys, and try and learn from them and to race against them firsthand and talk to them up there. That was pretty cool to be a part of.
You know, kind of talking about Sauber, you glossed over it a little bit, but when you go to as many races as we do, you unfortunately see some hard hits. And if I reflect back on 2019 and I have to pull the heaviest hit that I've seen a race car take, you take the cake at Sauber Speedway, which, I mean, one of the smallest racetracks that you could go to, but goes to show you the speed that a pro late model can carry. You guys rebounded masterfully from a terrible incident at Sauber Speedway last year. Take us back to that moment. Obviously, it was definitely tough on everybody, but Sauber Speedway last year, that was a Mondo hit.
No doubt, it just sucked in every which way for him. And no matter how you put it, it was just it was a bad deal. I didn't really like how it all went down. We had a fast car and we were going for the win, but. That's how it goes. Everyone gets a part of those deals, but I was my first time on that. Well, really, first time being good on that track. We had those two APC races the year before, and we started to figure it out. And I wasn't a big fan of it. And then that weekend there, we found some speed, and I was really enjoying the track. And I didn't really realize how much outside lane we could have there until that night. We were rolling pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it's just unfortunate how it came out. But there's always good things to take away from every situation, and. We took a lot of good out of it. I mean, we went back there and we're fast, and we broke in that APC race there that weekend, which kind of hurt us in the points deal for the rest of the year because of that double header. But we took a lot of good away from it, and I've got credit from a couple of big racers around Ontario for the hardest hit at Sauber Speedway. They didn't know a car could hit the wall that hard at Sauber. So I guess that's all right. Someone to remember me by.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget you. I'll tell you that, kiddo. That car was a bullet that night. You were going to have a checkered flag, I guarantee it. That thing was a missile. But, Jake, you guys did bounce back. As Junior said, you bounced back from devastation, really, and continued on throughout the course of the year. You got a victory at the end of the year. 2020 is staring us right at us now. How are the preparations coming for this year? Is the 52 set and ready to go, or is it still in pieces yet around the shop?
We're in pretty good shape. I mean, I'm loving it. I'm looking forward to 2020. I'm as hyped up and as eager as I've ever been in my entire life. I'm hungry for it this year, and I'm really excited. I mean, we got a lot of good things going for us. We had a couple of good things happen over the off season. There were a couple of new partners come with us, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I mean, we got a good basis to go off of. We, like I said, no matter if the results didn't really show it, we had a lot of speed every weekend in the APC tour. So we definitely got some good notebooks, some good things to reflect off of, and I'm pumped. I'm so excited to get back. I love some of the things that the tour is doing this year. As a fan, especially as I am, I love it. I'm so excited to be a part of it, and it's so professionally done every year. I'm sure every year it gets bigger and better, and I can't wait to see what they do this year. But I think we're on track for the APC program, and we're going to try and hit up maybe that three race mini series at Delaware and Flamborough. I love those two tracks. They've been big in the history books for sure. Canadian motorsports, and I love Delaware. So try and hit those up and get a little bit of variety and see where the year takes us.
Yeah, it's going to keep you busy. I can guarantee you that lofty schedule. Gotta love it. Brand new car this year, or what do you bring into the track, Jake?
Yeah, we got a couple of things figured out. We're just trying to work on. We got that the new rules in APC. They've done I like what they've done. Anyways, it worked out for us. We can run that Nashville car we brought down to Nashville. We can kind of use that for APC, and we got those two cars. So we're working on it and see what we can do with that. But like I said, a couple of new people help us out this year. So really got us a long ways, and hopefully we can make something work.
Where is the strongest track for Jake Sheridan and Sheridan Racing? Where is your favorite place to go? Obviously, you know, you want to go everywhere. You're a racer, but where is your strong point, and where is your kind of Achilles heel?
I love Delaware so much. I mean, the history that I guess the Sheridan name holds there for a while, just mostly from Dad, but I love that track. I love the atmosphere. I just love the surface. I love the speed. I love the rough surface, and get some experience there. We had a lot of success there, and every time we unload, we're faster. So that's always makes it easier to like a track when you're fast and you have some success there. But I love Delaware, and it never gets old to me. I love going back there every time.
Sponsorship on the number 52. How is it coming along? Are you ready to go that way, marketing wise?
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of people that stick around us, and the constant support's great. I mean, Belfort Property Restorations have been a big part of my career, and my dad, of course, too. Pride Seeds, they've been with me ever since we started the stock car stuff, and of course, the smaller people that have been close to home and around us, and I couldn't do it without them. So we got some great people and some good guys in the shop. You know, you can't forget to thank the guys that help you throughout the weekday, the crew guys. You know, some people, sometimes they forget to mention them, but we would not be doing what we do without them. So all those guys I'm thankful for, and I'm just happy to go live out my dream every weekend.
You'll be out early, I would imagine. You guys are going to be prepared somewhat early. You'll be out getting some test time in before you go green. What tracks will you head to for testing, do you think?
Nice for us. Delaware is 15 minutes from our house, so that's always a neat spot to go hit up. But we'll shake things down there, and I like to get a lot better at Sunset. I mean, it's opening APC races up there, so always good to come out with a bang in a series. So it'll be nice to get some hot laps up in there and get working with this new piece for the Ontario Tour. And like I say, you know, get back into the swing of things. I'm confident with what we got going on, and I know whatever we got, we'll make the best of what we have. So got great guys behind me, like I said, and if we can start out great at the beginning of the tour, I don't see why we can't carry it on throughout the season.
Can we expect to see you down south at all towards the end of the year or throughout the summer season? Do you have any races that are kind of circled on the calendar for 2020 down there on the U.S. side?
I love nothing more than that, Joe. It's the competition down there is it's just like, well, like the APC series is so tight, but that's there's a whole new breed of tracks and racing down there. I mean, Nashville, we'd love to go back there for that, the big Nashville race again. I feel like with what we learned last time, we could really expand on and elaborate on our finishes up down there. And second time around, I think we could do a little better. So I'd love to give that another try. And I think we're going to try and get through. Our main priority is the APC series for this season. So we're going to try and make sure we get through all those races clean and make sure we have the funding to finish that off before we go and have anything else happen anywhere else. But once we get through the APC season, you know, we'd love to do some stuff in the fall if there's some money left. And all those tracks down there, like even some Wisconsin stuff or hit up some one-off races, I'd love that a lot. And I can always learn from those guys down there.
Well, Jake Sheridan, I can tell you, I got my crystal ball out the first time I got it out all year. And when I look into it, buddy, I'm seeing checkered flags in a 52 car with all you guys standing there. So, and this crystal ball is never wrong.
Well, it tells you that we're going to win the lottery all the time, but it hasn't done that yet.
Well, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet.
I wouldn't put too much faith into that, but go out and win a bunch of races and maybe we'll win the lottery too.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, that'd be
Jake
awesome.
Jake win, we win.
I know.
Everybody win.
Where is this crystal ball? I can't see it.
Well, I know. You can't see it. I'm not going to show it to you. You can't touch it. Jake, hey. This has been great catching up with you tonight, buddy. Really appreciate it, and I know we're looking forward to 2020. You're going to play a big part in that APC series. I know it.
For sure. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I love being on the show. I love what you guys do. You guys did a great job, and great job promoting all those races around here. So. Happy to be a part of it, and looking forward to another good season.
Thanks very much for that, man. There needs to be, before you jump off, there needs to be a reality show made for the Sheridan.
Oh, I guess so.
There needs to be Jake Sheridan and Nick Sheridan. That is you know, TV that you guys are characters, you guys are class acts, and, you know, that needs to happen. That needs to happen. And we get to see Ron pull his hair out all the time.
There's no hair left to pull out. We drive him crazy over the years.
I wasn't going to go there, but you did.
Well,
he's on vacation. He's not listening, so we're okay with it. It's funny you say that. A couple people have said it's hilarious. But it all comes from just a good relationship. And, you know, we support both the races so much, and we have a lot of fun with each other. So it's fun, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Yeah, you guys are dynamite at it. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Tell your younger brother we will get him on one of these nights.
Don't pick on him too much.
And you're in for a treat when we get him on.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're going to do that in the next few weeks. Jake, have a great night. Thanks a million.
Thanks, guys. You too. Take care now.
You bet. Jake Sheridan, driver of the number 52 in that APC series. This crystal ball ain't wrong. Tell you, he is going to win this year.
Guaranteed.
And it's going to be awesome when he does, I'll tell you. We're going to hit this final break. When we come back, we're going to have a driver on that was at Speed Weeks. I know we're past Speed Weeks now, but Jason White had a tremendous Speed Weeks from a Canadian perspective. He was the top-performing Canadian in the from a Speed Weeks perspective, comes away with two top 10 finishes, one in the Arca Menard Series, the other one in the Gander Truck Series. We're going to have him on Race Time next. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
You're listening to Canada Talks. On Sirius XM, channel 167.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Everything's
happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you, you are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Ah, there we go. We are back with you live tonight on Race Time. So glad you could tune in. Speed Weeks, we got to revisit this one last time because there was a guy, and everybody knows that Jason White from Sun Peaks, BC, was down at Speed Weeks. He had a whale of a Speed Weeks. Started it off in the Arca Menards series, in the Lucas Oil 200. Guy goes out there, puts a top 10 together. Takes that, parlays it, and heads off into the Gander Truck Series, and look at him with a sixth-place finish. He is firmly back in B.C. now. Holidays are over. Race week is over, and we got him on the hotline. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing really good, guys. How are you?
Fantastic, my friend. Congratulations from all of us on a successful Speed Weeks. Man, you did a whale of a job. With two series that are real tough to do, you did them both, and you came away with two race cars, a truck. You brought them home without a mark. Good for you, man.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, you know, is being able to bring home these racing machines clean and keep the car owners happy. And lo and behold, they're talking about wanting me to drive them again. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, we did what we wanted to do. And a couple weeks ago when you had me on, we said what we were going to do, and we stuck to our plan, and man, it worked out pretty good.
It was a lot of fun to watch, Jason. We sat back and we watched through the beginning portion of the ARCA race. Of course, we talked to you after the ARCA race. Just a spectacular run. Had a tremendous amount of fun. Then heading into the truck race, the race was some of the craziest drafting of Speed Weeks, by far, hands down, one of the craziest best races. And then they started wadding some stuff up, but you picked your way through. It wasn't like you were, you know, way back behind the draft. It was, I mean, you picked your way through and made your move, but you were making moves that showed confidence as well out on the racetrack, and that's a big thing to do. Do you think you get the finish that you got in the truck race without having the good experience in the ARCA race?
Well, you know what? What people don't know and behind the scenes that happened was probably the most stressful thing that's ever been in my career. We kept going through tech and we had minor things wrong, and literally they started qualifying and we were up 20th. They were on, I think, truck number 6 or 7, and we had to be in line at 20th. In order to have our starting position, in order to take the provisional if we needed it. So we were on the scale, and they finally passed us. We rolled off the scale. I locked and loaded, and I was panicking. I literally had 3 laps of practice in that truck the day before. It's so hard to get through tech with these things. They got to be so perfect for NASCAR. So we missed the first practice session completely. The second practice session, we went out and we got 2 or 3 laps, and that was it. So we really didn't get a judgment of what the truck had, what it was going to do. I was just basically throwing the dice and got out there. We just barely rolled up to start our qualifying session, and we just absolutely by the skin of our teeth made it to get to qualify. So at that point, you know, my brother Jim was there and Larry Jackson was there, and they're trying to calm me down. I'm on freaking fire. I can't even believe that this is happening to me. I'm so stressed. And I thought that was it. We were gonna fail to make the race again, and I was gonna have to have one of those down and out Facebook live posts, and it just was not a good situation. And we went out and laid down a lap that was just close enough to get us into the race. And we were relying on provisionals with the owner's points, and we knew that going in, and we knew that a lot of the top teams had to qualify well. Well, all of a sudden, a couple of them didn't. So here we are for, you know, the last, whatever, 18 trucks after us that qualified, Stuart Friesen took a provisional. We never would have thought Stuart would have taken a provisional. So now that almost knocked us out. Then we come back, and Grant Enfinger, if he would have qualified to take a provisional, that would have been very close for us to not be in the race. So the stress just to get there, you know, I said to Grant after, I said, hey, I got to take you to the Hyde Park Steakhouse for dinner because you got me in the show. So, and then he was pretty happy with the end of his race as well. But, you know, a lot of things happen that are behind the scenes and people don't know before that race. And then to get the words that came down officially that said, you're in the show. And I just, oh my God, it was like a weight off my shoulders. And then we just focused to, okay, now what can we do to get this thing to be, you know, as efficient as possible? And we went right back to our plan that you and I had talked about. And that was just be patient. And we were at the back of the pack. I talked to three or four other drivers before the race, Spencer Boyd, Jesse Little, Jordan Anderson. We all hooked up at the back, and I kept trying to move out, and I would move up a little bit, and I had a great spotter in Randy Bradshaw. He's a Cup spotter. He kept saying in his Southern draw, he was like, you get back to the back there and just don't lose the draft. And I just kept listening to him, and, you know, the truck would feel loose, and it would get to the point where I was like, oh, man, you know, something's not right here. I got to get up on the top. And he was like, you get yourself back down on the bottom and stay in line. And I just kept listening to him, you know, we waited and waited and waited, and it seemed like forever waiting. And sure enough, with four to go, I was like, man, this ain't going to happen. For the first time, there's not going to be a big wreck or, you know, the big one near the end and have this caution. And he said, don't worry, be patient. It's going to happen. And sure enough, the next lap, there it was. And it was just awesome to have that feeling as a driver that, okay, there's my chance. And we lined up eight and on the green, white checkered, and off we went. So
I'll tell you what, these two guys sitting right here in the studio were sitting in the living room watching that race, and I'll tell you what, we were coming unglued. You missed everything. You drove through it, and not a mark, and the beautiful restart at the end, it's just incredible. And they said, we both said, look at this, Jason White just did the best that you could possibly ask for without winning the race. You did it. So much for a stress-free Florida vacation, right?
Well, you know what? It's funny because, again, just like in the ARCA race, if I could have had a pusher, I would have been better than six. There's the racer in me. I finally started thinking, man, if it could have been. Well, the same thing happened in the truck race. Coming to the green-white checkered, I bogged on fuel. I started running out of fuel when I hit the throttle on the restart. And if you get to watch it again, you'll see Riley Herb started actually pushing me as hard. Like, he drove me and just about knocked my molars out. And he just started pushing me. And then the truck caught. And then we were going down the back straightaway, and he had one more little bobble of like a bog. And then from there, we were way back. But then the mayhem that started up front. I mean, Chastain was into the wall, and he was down and into another truck. And I was just like, wow, look at this. You know, everything's kind of working to our advantage. And my spotter just kept saying, three wide, you're in the middle, three wide, you're in the middle. And I felt like I was playing NASCAR heat. And I thought, I ain't lifting. There's no way I'm lifting. I don't care what happens. I was in turn three coming to the checkered. And from here, we got enough momentum to slide and tumble down the back or the front straightaway if we have to. So I didn't lift, and I got in the middle there. The heartbreaking part of it was I raced with Natalie Decker all race long. I raced with the seven truck all race long, and I passed the three truck two or three times and was drafting with him all race long, and he finished second.
Absolutely.
There again, the racer in me was like, oh my God, there was an opportunity that was just so close to being even better than it was. You know, don't get me wrong, the 10th was great, but I just, oh man, it was so close to being so much better.
Well, and you know what? That just keeps you coming back, Jay, for more. You mentioned it, that there could be some more opportunity. Can you elaborate on that, or is it still in the future to make some more plans?
And don't say, no, you can't elaborate. You can. You just don't want if you're not going to do it.
No, I mean, we're working on right away. I got a call from Andy Hillenberg, who I drove for in the ARCA race, and I've driven for him a few times now, and Andy was over the moon for me. He was so happy about the truck race. And, you know, all week long, he was calling me and saying, hey, do the same thing you did in the ARCA race. Just be patient. You know, DJ called, and he said the same thing. Just be patient. Don't worry. These trucks feel like they're loose and they're going to crash, and they're not going to. They got lots of grip. And, you know, I had people like that just calling me and telling me to just be patient. And the next day, Andy called and said, hey, so you're coming to Talladega, right? So it sounds like we're pretty close to putting that thing together to get to Talladega and the ARCA race. and then we'll be going from there. But we got some Pinty's racing to do, probably, you know, four or five races there. We'll be in the truck race at Mossport with Rayon Brothers Racing again, and then if we get the Talladega thing going for ARCA, we'll be at the Talladega race in the truck as well.
Cool.
So that's cool. Kind of where we're going.
Oh, Jay, that's tremendous news, and good on you. You needed to do what you needed to do to get the finishes. Now look at the respect, and next time, Jay, you will have the pusher.
Well, you know what? You guys know me. I'm a pretty humble guy, and I don't ever say that I'm going to go out and whoop everybody's butt, and I'm going to go out and win races here and there. But when you put yourself in a position, and this is whole career-wide, I put myself in a position that's taken 20 years to get to, and there I was on the last lap going, wow, you know, patience over the last 20 years has put me in this position. So it seems that I have a little bit more of a knack for those super speedways. You know, we race in the Pinty series, and we got some amazing drivers that I've had to the opportunity and the honor to race against over the years, and I've learned a ton from all of them. But it seems like once I get up into be in, you know, where it's more of a strategy and more of a chess game on the super speedways, it seems to play into my kind of the way I drive and my ability. So if I can get into some of these more of these super speedway races and just get more experience and try and keep the car and truck clean throughout the races, you know, my goal is obviously to be at the top of the game one day, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, it's called earning your way, and Jay, you're earning your way, my friend. This has been great catching up with you. It was great watching you at Speed Weeks, and I can only say I can't wait till the next time you jump into either one of those ARCA cars, one of those trucks, or even that Pindy's ride. All of them are going to be a lot of fun to watch you win this year.
Well, you know, just like any racer ever says, I just can't wait for the next time to strap in. So hopefully that'll be in April at Talladega. And then after that, we'll be at Mossport and performing in front of all of our great Canadian fans up there at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. But, you know, once again, I just really want to thank everybody that followed. You know, I'm pretty adamant about making sure that people know what happens, whether it's good or bad, ugly, pretty, whatever. People got to know the ups and downs of the sport, and I've had so many people following and supporting me, including my family, but especially the fans and a lot of the racers in Canada. I can't even believe how many phone calls and messages and texts and stuff I got that night and that Saturday morning. I just am so thankful for all of you guys for being there and being on the edge of your couch on Friday night to cheer me on. It was I felt every single person. It was awesome.
Gotta love it, Jay. We appreciate the time, and I know we all look forward to getting you back out there. It's going to be a wild 2020. You set it up perfect, my friend. Have a great one.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That's Jason White, Sun Peaks, BC. He's not done yet. Just starting 2020.
I know. That's cool.
Good for him.
That's cool. It's, you know, that's the way it works down there. It's, you know, you get the opportunity. You go make the most of it. You get another opportunity, and that's, you know, that's part of the game. And hats off to them, and definitely a rough deal getting through tech, but, you know, it's awesome that they made it.
Yeah, that's the way NASCAR is, right? You got to have every I dotted, every T crossed, and if you don't, back to the end of the longest line again, guys.
Absolutely. But just awesome for them, and really cool. A lot of people took note of that, and it was fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
What a show tonight.
Yeah, it was a good one.
The family show.
I sure hope you enjoyed it. That's going to do it for Junior and I here in the Racetime Radio Studio. Got to thank Suzy Q right here for hooking us up with all of our great guests. Got to thank all of them, along with Scott back there in Toronto, hooking us up and getting us on the air here on Sirius XM Channel 167. I know we look forward to next Sunday night, right here, same bat time, same bat channel, right here. A Racetime Radio. We'll be back with you with another lineup of guests and ready to go for two more full hours again next week, right here on Racetime Radio. But that does it for us. Have a good night. Have a good, safe week. And don't worry, spring is coming. I know we felt a little bit of it today here in southern Ontario. We got a lot more of that coming. We're going to get to the racetrack real soon. Have a good one. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.